And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into his nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
By now, I would have got more used to doing this, but I'm doing at the moment, and speaking in an empty church and speaking into the camera. But you have no idea of how much I miss you not being here. I used to look forward very, very much to particularly a Sunday morning when I would come over to celebrate Mass, and there was an air of expectation in the church, and people were coming in and greeting one another and saying hello to one another, and it was a beautiful atmosphere. And of course, all that is missing at the moment, and instead of becoming more used to this, in fact, I'm beginning to find it more difficult. And when you're here, I can keep an eye on you and I can make sure you're awake and not fall asleep. Now you're at home, and if you fall asleep, I've no control over that. And maybe if you don't like what I'm saying, you'll just switch me off altogether. So all I can say to you this morning is, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, have mercy on me. And be gentle and kind. Now, just looking at the Gospel this morning, there are two very important points. Well, something that I want to share with you. This is the first time after Jesus was raised from the dead that he meets the apostles. Now, if it had been me in that situation, I would have come in and I would have been pretty annoyed. And I would have said to them, "You bunch of idiots, where were you when I really, really needed you? You ran away and left me." But look at Jesus. Not a word of condemnation, no sign of annoyance, but greeted them with that lovely greeting, "Shalom," or "Peace be to you." Christ showed, before he spoke about mercy, he showed mercy, universal mercy, totally forgiving to the apostles. Now, you know, and I particularly know, that if somebody were to offend me or let me down or hurt me in a big way, I would be just waiting for a chance to let them know how I felt. And I think that's pretty human. But not with Jesus. Total, universal forgiveness, universal mercy. But how often we don't accept that. We don't believe in the mercy of God. We think we've always got to be right. We can't afford to be wrong. But Jesus is so, so forgiving. There's a lovely story I came across about a man in Montana. His name was John Williams. And late one night, he was on his way back, and he happened to be driving pretty fast. And in his rear view mirror, he saw a police car behind him with flashing lights. So he pulled over, and the police officer got out of his car and came over and shone a torch on his face. And John was thinking, what excuse can I make? The police officer did not say anything, but he looked at John, and then he looked at his seven-month-old child in his little car seat at the back, fast asleep, and three more children in the back of the car, his other three children, also fast asleep, and way back in the back of the station wagon, two dogs. And he came back again and shone the light on John's face and said to him, "Son, you can't afford to have a ticket. Go home safe and drive a bit slower." Sometimes mercy overcomes law. And that's the lovely way of looking at Jesus. I think in the past we have been too law-focused. Let's be aware more of the mercy of God and never be afraid to come and seek that mercy and that forgiveness. Now, there's another beautiful point in the Gospel this morning. And it is this, that Very often, our picture is of Jesus and the resurrection is that it's all about Jesus. And we never see how we is about us too. So how do I explain that, or where did I get that idea from? Well, in the gospel this morning, Jesus comes in, peace be with you, and then he showed them his wounds. And when Thomas had doubts about his faith in Jesus and who he really was, Jesus said, come and see my wounds. So Jesus was wounded and resurrected. Wounded and resurrected. There is no resurrection without pains. Now, most of you listening to me this morning, you are wounded. And I am wounded. In fact, we are all wounded. And we carry many, many wounds. And very often, perhaps, we're ashamed of our wounds. We're ashamed of our weaknesses. But there's no need to be. It's through these wounds, through these weaknesses, that we come to God. We have a great celebration when it comes to Christmas. Many weeks before Christmas even arrives, we're all getting excited. If I were to say to you this morning, how many Easter songs do you know? You'd probably say, none. How many Christmas songs do you know? You'd probably say, hundreds. Why? Why is Easter so boring, put it that way, as opposed to Christmas? Because we can see Christmas, a little baby being born. We arrived in this world as a little child. It's a family thing, and we feel part of it. But when it comes to Jesus being raised from the dead, we all often don't feel part of it. But we are a part of it. Because Jesus did not come just to die for our sins and later on be raised. He came to die and be raised. He came to suffer and to be raised. Death and resurrection go hand in hand. Wounds and resurrection go hand in hand. And he came to show us that is our way also. And very often when we are wounded or when we are in pain or suffering, we're angry and we reject it. And maybe say, why me? The answer is, why not me? Wounds, suffering, are our way to God. Did not Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? He who wants to follow me and be my faithful follower has got to come after me, take up his cross, bear our sufferings patiently for love. For love. Isn't that the ultimate reason? Isn't that the ultimate reason? To bear our sufferings for love of Jesus. And our sufferings and pain can become so powerful, so transforming, and nothing leads us closer to God than our pain and our sufferings. And that's why Easter is the feast a feast, way more important than Christmas. In fact, Easter is the conclusion and the fulfillment of Christmas. Jesus was born, suffered, and died, and was raised on the third day. And that's our guarantee that we too will be raised to a new life. In the Mass of the Dead, in the preface we say, life is not ended, but merely changed. We are destined to be raised just like Jesus.